Now, air travel, as I'm sure you know, is incredibly safe. The problem is that when it goes wrong, it's incredibly deadly. Another plane crash, the Ethiopian Airlines Flight 30, as we know, crashed just minutes after takeoff, 157 people dead. And the grounding subsequently, almost universally around the world, of Boeing 737 MAX 8 and 9 aircraft. When incidents like that occur, travellers who may be, in any event, nervous about air travel have that feeling reinforced, exacerbated, might even cancel their plans, might swear off air travel altogether. What does it feel like to be afraid to fly? And if you are, what can you do? What can you do to calm your nerves and make that experience a little more bearable? We're about to explore both sides of that equation. Dr. Alison Smith is a clinical psychologist. She helps people overcome that anxiety. And ABC's Lisa Miller is a former foreign correspondent and a former fearful flyer. Let's start with that, Lisa, because I suspect not being happy about planes is a bit of an impediment to a high-flying journalist.
Well, it was going to ruin my career, really. I mean, it developed over 10 years from an incident in a light aircraft in North Queensland in severe storms. The engine stopped, the propellers stopped turning, we dropped a bit, the pilot was able to restart the engines, and we landed safely. I thought I was okay, but over a period of 10 years, the nervousness became a fear that, to give you an idea of how bad it became, if someone said to me, in 3 days, you're getting on a 737 flying from Brisbane to Sydney, I would start vomiting, I would have diarrhea, I would not be able to control muscles. On the morning of the start of my honeymoon, where we were going to go to Greece and Spain, I sat at the airport and sobbed and begged my new husband to cancel the honeymoon.
Can't we take a boat?
Yeah, exactly. It was bad. It was really
that's
bad.
That's just not a slight nervousness. No. That is an utter debilitating condition.
Yes.
Alison, is that typical?
Yes, indeed it is. And quite often we find that people's fears develop as a result of what they interpret as a very dangerous event, which might be perfectly normal, not unsafe at all, but nevertheless, it seems as if it's unsafe.
Because even after, you know, all our experiences as people in aircraft, Alison, it's still an unnatural environment. It's one in which we feel a little bit out of place.
Well, when you think about it, you're a long way up, and we don't have a very good understanding of what keeps planes up. And given that the consequences of something going wrong can be so dire, you can understand that people might develop this kind of fear. Mm. But the reality is we are kept up there by the laws of physics, and they are one of the few things in this world that don't change, and probably the safest thing on which we can rely.
Now, Lisa, what did you decide? You thought, well, this has got to stop. And how did you then reach out for help?
Well, we were on a trip to Tasmania for a dear friend's wedding. Mm. We arrived in Tasmania, went to the wedding, and we were going to do a driving trip of Tassie for 5 days. I spent every day being sick about getting the flight back to Brisbane.
Right.
And my husband said, this cannot go on. We have to stop it. And so I investigated how to get help. And it was back in the era when the Australian airline Ansett still existed, just before September 11, 2001. They had a terrific fear of flying course. Mm. I did a long weekend course where they looked at a whole lot of stuff, which Alison will no doubt go into the details of. And it finished with a graduation flight. The cure didn't happen straight away. It took me quite a few years to get to the point that I'm at now, which is completely cured.
You were given
cured.
Techniques that you could employ.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And I clung on to them like they were a life raft.
Alison, this is what you do now, is helping people with this phobia. What's the process? I mean, what you mentioned before about the laws of physics and you know, the physical reality of why that aircraft is fundamentally safe, is that a starting point?
Yes. Well, I work with an organisation called Fearless Flyers, which works in association with Qantas to treat people who have a fear of flying. And the first thing that we really need to do is to give people information about the aviation industry so that they understand what's happening. Say, for example, one of the major triggers is turbulence. So they understand what turbulence is. They understand issues around the safety of the plane, so that instead of sitting on a plane thinking that it's about to crash, they're able to sit there and think, well, look, this might feel unsafe, but it's not. I have the facts. I can dispute the unhelpful ways in which I'm thinking. So that's one of the things that we do, providing information with pilots coming to speak, engineers coming to speak, weather experts, air traffic control and so on. That's not the full story, though, because for people who have been on a plane and who have been extremely fearful, there's a learned association between everything associated with the plane and the fear response.
How common is it to take that path? I mean, as Lisa described, there was an incident that created what was almost a post-traumatic stress situation around flying. Is that a typical experience?
The most typical thing that I hear is that the onset and the development of the fear is quite gradual. Initially, people feel a little bit nervous, perhaps because they've been on a particularly bumpy flight, or there's been an aborted takeoff or an aborted landing, or the plane has had to sit on the tarmac while something is fixed. And those kinds of events are interpreted as unsafe, incorrectly interpreted as unsafe. But that sows the seeds of doubt. And then on the next flight, the person concerned is anxious and vigilant for any sight, any sensation that is unusual. And then they build up their fear over time.
I saw a look of recognition there, Lisa, with that vigilance idea.
Well, it took 6 years from my initial incident to the honeymoon moment I was telling you about. So it was very gradual for me. One of the best pieces of advice I got when I did the fear of flying course was to be told, you've taken a long time to build this fear up. You're not going to get rid of it overnight. You now need to work at getting rid of it.
Yes. Because, Alison, I suspect the people that enrol for a course may well have that, you know, the reverse expectation that everything's going to be sorted this weekend, I'll be okay.
I don't know that they do. I think they're very realistic about the fact that this is something that's extremely difficult for them. And we make it clear right from the start that it's not going to be a miracle, but that the course and particularly the graduation flights are very, very important bases on which they can begin to overcome their fear completely. And many, many people do go on to not only overcome their fear, but to love flying. Now, we've had people in the course who've gone on to, well, one person who's gone on to be a flight attendant, for example.
Okay.
So it is possible.
That's a success story.
Oh, I've heard of that. People learning how to fly, that they love it much.
Yes, we've certainly had that experience as well.
So when your graduates settle down into 18B and head off somewhere, Alison, what do you have them think in their heads? What do you get them to sort of repeat to themselves?
Well, I like them to gain a lot of knowledge before they get on the plane, so they're confident about the system. And I like them to prepare for how they're likely to feel in turbulence, because there is that automatic trigger. And if I can refer back to the course just briefly, putting them in the flight simulator, which in which they can experience the movement of turbulence or takeoff or whatever, is a very useful way to challenge anxiety that is automatic in response to those sensations.
Wow, that's quite high tech. I mean, that's...
Oh, yes, yes. And we also go on a stationary plane, which allows people to notice that they have an automatic response just to the sight of the seats, the smell of the plane and so on. And that knowledge helps them to label, when they are flying, to label their response as a false alarm. It's what's happening in their body, the automatic learned response, is a false alarm. It's not an indicator of something being wrong.
Right.
And also, if I may just add this little bit, what I like people to say to themselves is, no matter how they feel, they have to trust what they know, that feelings are deceptive, they're learned, and they are, again, if I may say so, a false alarm.
I knew that how far an airplane could fly with one engine. I wrote it on a palm card and I held that palm card and I just kept going through the facts because, Alison, you're so right, of course, that, you know, I had to keep telling my mind that what I was feeling was wrong. The facts on the palm cards were right.
It's hard, though, to, I mean, this suggests then that there's a certain sort of irrationality about the phobia. And difficult to shift that sort of thinking with just plain facts because it's so deep, it's so insistent.
On the evidence that it works, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, you are. Yes.
Well, I think, I don't think getting the facts is the whole story. As I've indicated, there is the automatic response and that requires some exposure to aspects of flying, which we can do very well in the course, and which people can do for themselves. I'm finding that YouTube has revolutionised the treatment of fear of flying because there are endless YouTubes of turbulence.
Yep.
And you can use that, as someone who's fearful of flying, to practice being in that situation. And when you get the anxiety response just at the thought of being in there under those circumstances, practicing dealing with that anxiety response, just instead of getting anxious about being anxious, just allowing the anxiety to sit there and to remind yourself that no matter how it feels, it's safe.
And Lisa, even as a reformed fearful flyer, when things happen like that crash in Ethiopia,
doesn't bother me at all. Not at all, because I know it's so rare, so unlikely to happen to me. I know you rattle off all the things about you could be hit by a bus, but that's actually how I feel. Alison, one of the things that happened to me post overcoming my fear of flying, which I was not anticipating, was that I felt so empowered in other areas of my life that even though I wasn't a very good swimmer, I did a triathlon. Because I thought, if I can overcome this absolute awful fear of flying, then I can do anything.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing feeling.
That's remarkable.
And we do find this quite regularly. We stay in contact with people and we get messages about successful flights, but also messages about how this has changed their life. If they can do this, they can do anything. And I think Lisa is one of very many in that. That's a wonderful outcome.
Alison, thank you so much. And look, I imagine there will be people listening now who have those anxieties and hopefully are somewhat reassured by this conversation and know that there are the paths to getting concrete help as well. Dr. Alison Smith is one of those. She's a clinical psychologist, resident psychologist at Fearless Flyers, Inc. And Lisa Miller, a former fearful flyer, now a woman of tremendous confidence, co-host of ABC News Breakfast.